A home feels different the first time something breaks and no one else is around to fix it. A loose cabinet hinge, a wobbling chair leg, a picture frame that will not sit straight. Small problems, but they press on a person in a quiet way. Most people reach for whatever is closest, hoping it works. A butter knife becomes a screwdriver, a shoe becomes a hammer. The job takes longer, and the result never feels right. In trades work, confidence starts with the right tools. A hammer with the right weight, a tape measure that locks when you need it, a drill that delivers steady power. These items may look simple, but they change how a person approaches repairs. They turn hesitation into action. This series follows a shop floor instructor who visits a homeowner at the moment when uncertainty meets responsibility. Across three chapters, he explains the essential starter toolkit, how each tool works, and how to build a set that lasts for years. The goal is simple, a home where small problems stay small, because the person living there knows how to handle them. Chapter 1, the first toolkit moment. The call came on a clear Saturday morning. A homeowner named Leon had been struggling with a cabinet hinge that would not sit right. The screws kept backing out. The door sagged. He had tried everything he could think of, but nothing held. He sounded embarrassed when he explained the problem. He said he felt silly calling a trades instructor for something so small. The instructor told him it was more common than he thought. Simple tasks often reveal the gaps in a person's tool collection. When the instructor arrived at the house, he took one look at the cabinet and saw the issue. The screws were worn down from repeated attempts with the wrong tools. Leon had tried to tighten them using a cheap multi-tool he kept in a drawer. The handle flexed every time he pushed. The tip did not match the screw head. Each slip chewed away a little more of the metal. The instructor had seen it many times. People did not fail because they lacked skill. They failed because they lacked the right tools. Leon watched closely as the instructor studied the hinge. He wanted to know what he had done wrong. The instructor explained it gently. This was not about mistakes. It was about preparation. Every home needed a basic set of tools that could handle the small problems that came up without warning. These tools did not need to be expensive or advanced. They only needed to be solid, reliable, and safe. That was the purpose of a starter toolkit. It gave a person the confidence to handle everyday fixes without stress or guesswork. The instructor sat with Leon at the kitchen table and laid out six items that formed the foundation of a proper home toolkit: a hammer, a tape measure, a set of screwdrivers, a pair of pliers, an adjustable wrench, a cordless drill. He explained that these six tools covered most of what a homeowner faced: hanging pictures, tightening hardware, assembling furniture, making small adjustments to plumbing, mounting shelves, finishing small repairs before they grew into bigger and more costly problems. Leon looked at the tools with curiosity. He said he had seen these items in stores, but never felt sure which ones to buy. Many packages looked similar. Prices ranged widely. Some tools felt too heavy. Others felt too light. He said he always worried about wasting money on the wrong choice. The instructor nodded. Buying tools without guidance could feel overwhelming. That was why understanding what made each tool essential mattered. He started with the hammer. A 16-ounce claw hammer remained the gold standard for a household. It was heavy enough to drive nails without repeated strikes, yet balanced enough for control. The handle needed a solid grip, something that felt firm in the hand. A hammer that was too heavy would make a beginner tire quickly. A hammer that was too light would require extra swings and lead to frustration. Balance mattered. A hammer that felt stable gave a person confidence. Next was the tape measure. This tool prevented costly mistakes. A 25-foot tape measure covered almost any indoor job. It allowed a person to measure rooms, furniture, windows, and wall spaces. The instructor told Leon that the most important features were a strong lock and a standout length that held firm when extended. A tape that drooped or twisted made layout work harder and less accurate. A stable tape saved time and reduced errors. The screwdriver set gave Leon pause. He asked why he needed more than one. The instructor explained that screws came in many sizes. Different projects required different tips. A basic set included both Phillips and flathead drivers, each in multiple sizes. The right fit prevented stripped heads and slipping hands. A good handle mattered too. A handle with a slight contour allowed more torque with less effort. It also kept the tool steady during delicate adjustments. Pliers came next. The instructor placed two types on the table, slip joint pliers and needle nose pliers. He explained that pliers provided grip where fingers failed. Slip joint pliers handled general tasks. Needle nose pliers reached into tight spaces. They were essential for bending wires, pulling small items, and securing hardware when the angle was awkward. Pliers also offered a level of precision that other tools did not. The adjustable wrench sat heavily in the instructor's hand as he explained its purpose. This tool allowed a person to tighten or loosen nuts and bolts without needing a full wrench set. It adjusted to fit many sizes, making it ideal for plumbing fixtures, furniture bolts, and appliance maintenance. A quality wrench turned smoothly. A poor one stuck or slipped. That difference could affect both safety and results. The final item was the cordless drill. This tool lifted a homeowner's capabilities. It drove screws cleanly and drilled holes with precision. The instructor explained that a drill saved time and reduced strain. It allowed clean work that felt effortless. A starter drill did not need high power. 12 to 18 volts was enough for indoor repairs. A good drill also had a comfortable grip and a simple speed control. Combined with a small set of drill bits, it opened the door to real home improvements. Leon listened carefully. The instructor could see the change in his posture. He had gone from nervous to curious. He asked what he should look for when buying each tool. The instructor explained that good tools did not have to be expensive, but extremely cheap tools often cost more in the long run. Metal quality mattered. So did the feel of the handle and the weight of the tool. A person should always pick up a tool before buying it. If the handle felt slippery, if the tool rattled, if the balance felt wrong, it was better to choose another. They discussed the difference between home-grade and contractor-grade tools. Home-grade tools worked well for occasional use. Contractor-grade tools were built for long daily work. A beginner did not need the highest level. They needed solid reliability. A person could always upgrade later as skills and projects grew. Leon wrote down notes and asked questions about prices. The instructor gave him a simple guideline: buy the best version you could reasonably afford, but avoid anything that looked flashy or gimmicky. Tools were not about style, they were about function. Sturdy construction, clear markings, and reliable mechanisms mattered more than color or packaging. After their talk, the instructor returned to the cabinet hinge. He removed the worn screws and replaced them with new ones. He used the correct screwdriver and tightened them smoothly. Leon watched closely. The door swung straight and even. The simple fix took less than a minute with the right tools. Leon smiled. He said he wished he had known this earlier. The instructor told him this moment was where confidence started. A person only needed to learn the basics once. After that, each project built on the last. Confidence came from preparation. The starter toolkit was the first step. He explained that the next chapter would move from understanding tools to seeing them in action on real tasks. A shop floor veteran would show how each tool worked in everyday repairs. They would cover buying guidance in more depth and explore how simple tasks built real skill. Leon said he looked forward to it. The instructor packed up his kit and headed for the door. Leon stood straighter now. He had a plan. He understood what he needed and why. The first toolkit moment had shifted him from frustration to readiness. He realized that small problems did not have to be stressful. With the right tools, they could be solved quickly and cleanly. As the instructor left, he looked back and saw Leon testing the weight of the hammer they had discussed. He gripped it once, nodded, and set it down with care. The shift had begun. Awareness had turned into intent. The next step was learning how to use the tools in real situations. That was where Chapter 2 would take him. Chapter 2, Inside the Tools, What They Do and How They Work. Leon arrived at the community workshop early on Monday morning. The instructor had invited him to see how tradesmen used basic tools during a real workday. The space looked different from what Leon had imagined. There were no loud machines running or piles of lumber everywhere. The shop was calm, clean floors, benches arranged in rows. Tool racks lined the walls with each item easy to find. A few workers stood at their stations checking their gear before the day began. The instructor greeted Leon with a nod and introduced him to a tradesman named Victor. Victor had been working in residential carpentry and home repair for over 20 years. He had a calm voice and steady movements, the kind that came from years of repetition. He told Leon that the best way to understand tools was to watch them being used in real tasks, not big projects, everyday fixes, the kind that homeowners dealt with often. Their first stop was a small practice wall built in the corner. It had sections of drywall, exposed studs, and loose boards that could be adjusted for demonstrations. Victor grabbed his hammer and looked at Leon. He explained that a hammer was more than a weight on a stick. The shape of the head mattered. The claw had the right curve for pulling nails without breaking the wood. The handle had enough length for leverage, but not so much that it felt awkward. Victor tapped a nail lightly to set it. He said this first tap mattered. It kept the nail steady before the real swings began. Leon watched Victor drive the nail cleanly with three solid strikes. Victor then showed how the claw wrapped under the nail head and pulled it out with a smooth motion. He said the sound of the hammer hitting the nail should feel controlled, not wild. A person should grip close to the end of the handle for power and slide up when working in tight spaces. Leon tried it next. His first tap wobbled. Victor steadied his hand and told him to breathe and watch the angle. Leon struck again. This time, the nail held. He drove it in with a rhythm that surprised him. Victor smiled and said the hammer was teaching him. Next, they moved to the layout table where a long sheet of plywood rested. Victor placed a tape measure on it and pulled the tape out to mark a line. The tape stayed straight in the air for several feet without bending. He said this was called standout length. A strong standout meant a person could measure long stretches without needing another hand. The lock held firm when he pressed it. He marked the board and showed Leon how even a small measuring mistake could throw off a project. Leon tried it and felt the difference immediately. His cheap tape measure at home had always buckled when he pulled it out too far. This one felt steady. The measurement stayed clear. The mark landed exactly where he wanted. Victor told him that measurement was one of the most important skills in home repair. Good tools made accuracy easier. Good habits kept it consistent. They walked to another station where a loose doorknob had been mounted for practice. The screws were slightly backed out and the plate shifted every time the door was moved. Victor handed Leon a Phillips screwdriver with a grip that fit the hand comfortably. He showed how the tip needed to match the screw head perfectly. If it was too small, the tip would slip, too large, and it would not seat properly. Victor tightened the top screw with slow, even pressure. The plate straightened as he worked. He said most hardware problems came from using the wrong screwdriver. The metal wore out. The person blamed their own skill when the real issue was the tool. He handed the screwdriver to Leon. Leon fit the tip into the next screw and tightened it. The difference felt immediate. The handle did not twist. The tip did not slip. The screw turned smoothly into place. For the first time, Leon understood why a full set mattered. Each size had a purpose. At the next bench, a faucet handle assembly sat ready for demonstration. Victor picked up a pair of slip joint pliers and explained how they adjusted to different widths. He used them to grip a small nut beneath the handle. He turned it carefully and pointed out how the pliers let him hold the piece without straining his fingers. Then he grabbed needle nose pliers and used them to reach into a narrow space to pull a small piece of debris lodged in the assembly. He told Leon that pliers acted like an extension of a person's hands. Where fingers lacked grip or reach, pliers stepped in. Leon practiced the same moves. The slip joint pliers clicked as he adjusted them. He used them to tighten the nut and felt how secure the grip was. With the needle nose pliers, he reached into the tight space and removed the same piece Victor had shown him. He nodded slowly. He could see why two types were needed. They stepped over to a small plumbing panel where Victor introduced the adjustable wrench. He held it up and explained that the wrench had a simple job. It fit different sized nuts and bolts with one tool. Victor adjusted the jaw until it matched the nut. Then he tightened with steady pressure. He showed Leon how the wrench should sit snugly on the faces of the nut. If it wobbled, it meant the fit was wrong. Leon took the wrench and tried it himself. He tightened the jaw until it fit just right. Then he turned the nut. The movement felt smooth. He said he had always thought an adjustable wrench looked complicated. Victor told him it was one of the simplest tools once a person understood how it worked. The final stop was the drill station. A cordless drill sat on the bench with a small set of bits. Victor explained that the drill was where confidence usually multiplied. It turned long jobs into short ones. It removed strain from the wrists. It made clean holes that allowed screws to sit correctly. Victor selected a drill bit and inserted it into the chuck. He tightened it, then demonstrated drilling a pilot hole into a board. He told Leon that a pilot hole prevented wood from splitting and helped the screw drive straight. Then he switched to a screwdriver bit and drove a screw cleanly into the hole. Leon stepped forward. He placed a drill bit into the chuck and tightened it. The drill hummed quietly when he pressed the trigger. He drilled his first pilot hole. The bit went in smoothly. He felt a small thrill of success. Victor handed him a screw and told him to finish the job. Leon drove it in with a clean motion. The screw sat flush with the surface. He smiled without meaning to. Victor said that drills came in different power levels. 12-volt drills worked well for most home tasks. Higher voltage drills were stronger but heavier. A person should pick up the drill in the store and feel the grip. A good drill fit the hand without strain. A bad drill felt unbalanced. They spent the next hour moving between stations. Leon practiced each tool under Victor's guidance. The tasks were small, but each one mattered. Leon saw how the tools worked together. The hammer set pieces in place. The tape measure made accurate marks. The screwdrivers secured parts. The pliers managed tight spaces. The wrench handled fasteners. The drill finished the job quickly and cleanly. As Leon practiced, Victor talked about tool quality. He said that good tools were made from strong steel with solid joints. Handles should feel firm and comfortable. Moving parts should glide smoothly. A person did not need the top tier. They needed reliability. A tool that broke early cost more in the long run. He told Leon that he could build a solid toolkit with a modest budget if he focused on quality over brand names. They walked to a shelf stocked with different types of hammers. Victor explained how to tell if a hammer was right. The head should be forged steel. The grip should feel natural in the hand. He said to avoid coatings that made the handle slippery. A person should pick up the hammer and feel the balance. If the weight felt forward or uneven, it would cause fatigue. At another shelf, Victor showed tape measures of different types. Some had weak locks, others had tapes that bent easily. He handed Leon a few and told him to test the lock strength. Leon pulled them out and tapped the lock. Some slipped, others held firm. Victor pointed out how the numbers on a quality tape were clear and easy to read. They moved to screwdrivers. Victor showed the difference between hardened steel tips and cheap tips that wore down quickly. He told Leon to check the feel of the handle. Some handles were too smooth, some too bulky. A good screwdriver allowed a firm grip without straining the fingers. Leon tested several until he found one that felt right. They compared pliers next. Victor showed how the pivot joint should move smoothly without wobbling. He said the jaws should close evenly. Leon squeezed a pair and noticed a slight gap. Victor shook his head. That pair would slip during work. Another pair closed perfectly. Leon felt the difference. At the wrench section, Victor demonstrated how smoothly a good adjustable wrench moved. The jaw should glide without sticking. The edge of the jaw should sit flat on the nut. Leon tested several wrenches and found that some felt loose, others felt solid. That solid feeling was the right choice. Finally, they tested drills. Victor handed Leon a small 12-volt drill and told him to grip it. Leon felt the balance. It sat comfortably in his hand. Victor pointed to another drill that was heavier and bulkier. He said a beginner should avoid heavy drills unless they needed the extra power. The buying guidance became clear to Leon as the day went on. He learned to judge tools not by appearance, but by feel and function. He saw how the right features made work cleaner and safer. He realized that most problems in home repair came from poor tools or poor fit. Victor gave Leon one final task. A piece of wood had a hinge attached loosely, similar to the problem Leon had at home. He handed him all 6 tools and asked him to fix it as if it were his own project. Leon measured the placement, marked a line, drilled pilot holes, tightened screws, and checked the alignment. The hinge sat tight. The wood stayed straight. Victor nodded slowly. That was the moment Leon understood the value of the starter toolkit. Victor told him that Chapter 3 would focus on building a long-term kit. They would cover storage, upgrades, maintenance, and expansion. Leon said he was ready. The day ended with Leon carrying a small list of recommended tools. He felt a sense of progress. The workshop had shown him that confidence came from clarity. Tools were not mysterious anymore. They were simple, reliable, and powerful when used correctly. He now understood what each tool did and how professionals relied on them. The next step was building a kit that would last for years. Chapter 3: Building a Reliable Home Toolkit for Life. Leon arrived at the workshop again the next morning, feeling more sure of himself than he had in a long time. The instructor greeted him with a small smile and motioned toward a different part of the building. This section looked less like a training area and more like a storage room for serious work. Steel shelves held toolboxes of different sizes. Plastic bins contained bits, blades, and fasteners. Pegboards displayed upgraded versions of the same tools Leon had practiced with the day before. The instructor told him that today's focus would be long-term readiness. He said tools were not only for fixing things, they were for staying prepared. A good starter kit helped a person begin. A reliable lifelong kit gave them confidence for years. Leon nodded and followed as the instructor led him to a bench with three toolboxes on it. The instructor opened the first box. Inside were the same six tools Leon had worked with: hammer, tape measure, screwdrivers, pliers, adjustable wrench, drill. The instructor called this the basic set. He said this set covered most home tasks. With these, a person could handle loose hardware, simple repairs, minor adjustments, and small improvements. But he explained that as a person grew more capable, their needs changed. The basic set needed support. He opened the second box. This one held more tools and accessories: a small level, a stud finder, a utility knife, a set of drill bits, a collection of wall anchors, a small socket set, safety glasses and gloves. The instructor explained each item carefully. He started with the level. He held it up and said that straight work mattered. A level made sure a picture frame hung cleanly. A shelf sat even, a bracket aligned correctly. He demonstrated how the bubble centered between the lines. He said even a beginner could see immediately whether something was right. Next was the stud finder. The instructor pressed it against a practice wall and showed how it detected the solid wood behind the drywall. He explained that mounting heavy items required strong support. A person who guessed instead of checking risked damage. The stud finder prevented that. Leon tried it and felt the tool vibrate gently when it found the stud. He nodded as he understood its purpose. The utility knife came next. The instructor said this tool handled cutting tasks that scissors could not manage: opening boxes, trimming material, scoring drywall, cutting rope. He stressed safety. The blade should be sharp. A dull blade was more dangerous than a sharp one because it slipped. Leon opened and closed the knife slowly, paying attention to the locked position. Then they examined the drill bits. The instructor explained that different materials needed different bits: wood bits, metal bits, multi-purpose bits. He showed the difference between them. He explained the importance of keeping bits organized and replaced when worn. A bad bit caused rough holes and strain on the drill. Leon held up a new bit and compared it to a worn one. The differences were clear. They moved on to wall anchors. The instructor poured a few into Leon's hand: plastic anchors for light loads, toggle anchors for heavier loads. He said many beginner mistakes came from driving screws directly into drywall without proper support. Anchors spread the load and prevented damage. Leon asked how to know which anchor to use. The instructor said the package instructions were clear and that the weight of the object determined the choice. Next was the small socket set. The instructor opened it and showed the different sizes. He explained that sockets allowed a person to tighten or loosen fasteners faster than a wrench. They helped with furniture assembly, bicycle maintenance, and appliance adjustments. Leon turned one of the ratchets and heard the soft clicks. The movement felt smooth. Safety equipment sat in the corner of the box. The instructor picked up the glasses and gloves. He said these were not optional. Protection mattered. Eyes needed shielding from dust and small fragments. Hands needed coverage when cutting or handling rough materials. Leon nodded. He had avoided safety gear in the past, thinking small tasks did not require it. Now he understood. The instructor closed the second box and opened the third. This one held tools for people who wanted to grow their abilities further. A small handsaw, a sanding block, a set of clamps, a larger level, a multi-bit screwdriver, a compact crowbar. These were not essential for beginners, but they expanded what a person could accomplish. The instructor explained each item, but he made it clear that not everyone needed the advanced box right away. A person should grow into their tools. They should buy what matched their needs. Leon appreciated the clarity. He said he had always assumed a good toolkit meant buying many items at once. The instructor shook his head. He said the best kits grew slowly, guided by real tasks and real experience. After reviewing the three boxes, the instructor walked Leon to a section of the workshop that looked like a study area. A large board hung on the wall with labels showing different price levels for tools. Budget, mid-range, professional. He pointed to each category. Budget tools were affordable and simple. They worked well for light use. A beginner who handled small tasks a few times a month could rely on them, but they were not built for constant stress. Some parts wore out sooner. The instructor said budget tools were fine as long as the buyer understood their limits. Mid-range tools offered better construction and materials, stronger steel, more comfortable grips, smoother mechanisms. These tools lasted longer and felt better during work. He said most homeowners were well served by mid-range choices. The price was fair and the performance was reliable. Professional tools sat at the top tier. These were designed for workers who used them day after day. They had reinforced joints and stronger components. They cost more, but they withstood heavy use. The instructor told Leon that professional tools were a good investment, only if a person planned to use them often. Leon asked how to know when to upgrade a tool. The instructor said it depended on two things. The first was frequency of use. If a tool saw regular action and began to show wear, it might be time to upgrade. The second was comfort. A tool that strained the hand or felt unbalanced slowed a person down. An upgrade made work smoother and safer. They moved on to tool maintenance. The instructor laid out a few items on the table: a small bottle of oil, a cloth, a brush. He explained that tools needed care. Metal surfaces should be wiped clean after use. A light coat of oil prevented rust. Moving parts should be checked regularly. He demonstrated oiling the joint of a pair of pliers. The teeth closed more smoothly. He told Leon that maintaining tools extended their lifespan and kept them safe. Charging drill batteries was another habit he stressed. He said batteries should be charged after use and stored away from extreme temperatures. He told Leon to check chargers for signs of wear and make sure cords stayed intact. A damaged cord was a safety risk. Leon took notes carefully. Next, they talked about storage. The instructor opened a large toolbox and pointed to the compartments. He said tools should be easy to reach. They should have a dedicated spot. A cluttered box slowed down work and made it harder to find what a person needed. He showed how the six main tools fit neatly in the bottom section. Smaller items sat in trays above. Leon said his old drawer at home looked nothing like this. The instructor smiled. Many homes kept tools scattered in drawers. A proper box changed that. They stepped over to a wall display that showed how a kit expanded over time. The display began with the basic tools, then it added the second tier items, then the advanced ones. The instructor said a toolkit should grow as a person's skills grew. Leon asked how long it took to build a complete kit. The instructor said it depended on the person. Some built it in a few months. Others took years. The pace did not matter. What mattered was intention. To reinforce the lesson, the instructor set up a challenge. He placed a short list of common home issues on a clipboard: a loose drawer handle, a crooked picture frame, a sticky door, a sagging shelf. He asked Leon to choose tools from the boxes and fix each issue on practice setups around the workshop. Leon looked at the list and took a breath. He grabbed the hammer, tape measure, screwdriver, level, pliers, and drill. He moved to the first station. The drawer handle wiggled with each pull. He selected the right screwdriver, tightened the screws, and made sure the plate sat flush. the instructor observed quietly. At the next station, the picture frame hung at an angle. Leon used the level to check alignment, tapped a small nail into the wall with the hammer, and hung the frame again. The bubble rested at center. He stepped back and looked at it with a sense of satisfaction. The sticky door came next. Leon inspected the hinge screws and noticed one was loose. He tightened it with the proper screwdriver. The door opened smoothly. He nodded to himself. He no longer felt unsure or hesitant. The last station held the sagging shelf. Leon used the stud finder to locate solid support behind the wall. He drilled pilot holes and used sturdy anchors. He then mounted the bracket and checked alignment with the level. The shelf sat firm and straight when he finished. The instructor walked up to him slowly. He said these were the most common issues homeowners faced. Leon had handled all of them cleanly. He said this proved something important. Confidence did not come from skill alone. It came from being prepared. The tools and the knowledge worked together. Leon asked how often he should review his toolkit. The instructor said once every few months was enough. He should check for missing items, replace worn parts, charge drill batteries, wipe tools clean. He said a person who kept their kit ready never felt caught off guard. They talked about buying tools at stores. The instructor said a person should always test a tool before buying it. Hold the handle, check the weight, test the moving parts, look at the build quality, avoid flashy items that promised more than they delivered. He said the simple rule was this: choose tools that felt solid and trustworthy. As the day drew to a close, the instructor gathered the three boxes again. He asked Leon which one he felt ready for. Leon said the basic box was his starting point, but he wanted to add the level, utility knife, and drill bit set from the second box. He said he felt confident he could handle those. The instructor nodded. That was the right pace. A toolkit should grow with purpose. They walked to the exit together. Leon held the list of recommended items the instructor had tailored for him. It felt different from any list he had seen before. It was clear, real, practical. He now understood how to start, how to grow, and how to care for his tools. Before leaving, Leon asked one final question. He wanted to know how a person stayed ready for the unexpected. The instructor said readiness came from small habits: keeping tools organized, knowing where each one lived, practicing basic tasks once in a while, staying curious about how things worked. He said a home only felt overwhelming when a person felt unprepared. A reliable toolkit changed that. Leon stepped outside with the afternoon sun warming the pavement. He felt a quiet sense of pride. The small repairs that once frustrated him now seemed manageable. The knowledge he gained felt solid. He no longer felt like a beginner standing in front of a confusing wall of tools. He felt like a homeowner who understood his responsibilities and had the confidence to meet them. The series closed with Leon walking toward his car, holding the small list of tools that would shape his future repairs. The starter kit had become something more. It had become a plan, a path toward independence, a reminder that preparedness was not about owning everything. It was about owning the right things. Confidence lived in that simple truth.